You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And Shaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show. Oh, I'm so happy to be here with you today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we are so grateful that you've joined us today. And I'm really excited because our guest today is one of my very favorite friends to visit with. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Good morning. My name is Clista Cole. I am Inuit, Yupik, and officially adopted Crow recently. I work with Perinatal Support Washington as a peer support or a perinatal mental health peer supporter currently.
I'm so happy you're here. Thank you so much for making time to join us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, my dear, you said the magic words, mental health. And we are so blessed by Adam H. to have a grant to do a series about improving mental health, improving Indigenous mental health specifically. And so what is different about mental health when it comes to parents?
I want to say I've been a mom for 22 years, and so mental health and parenting have gone hand in hand for me for 22 years. And I feel like the difference between mental health and parenting is that oftentimes when we become parents, it's a societal thing that we just, you know, you have a baby or a child, and you got to take care of it, and that's all you are, is a parent. You're no longer a person. You're no longer an individual without your child or your children. And I think that that weighs really heavy on parents when it comes to our mental health, because if we're not getting up and showing up for our children, we're not being good parents. I mean, and that's the stigma around it. But reality, we have to be able to find that balance.
I love that word balance. Whenever I hear someone say that, it sounds like such a wonderful, optimal condition. But in today's hectic world, how do we get there?
That is a really good question. It's such a really good question. In my experience, I'm currently still figuring that out. I know that with my job, it is a new program in Washington. We serve a small area just because that's what our grant allows. And I know that if I had a program like what I'm doing, then things may have turned out a little bit easier or better for me as a parent. But I'm 40 years old now. I'm a mother of six, and I'm still struggling with mental health. I'm still struggling to find the right provider. I'm still struggling through pregnancy loss that happened 13 years ago that I wasn't able to reflect on because, again, I had to be a parent.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry for that loss and for all of our loved ones and friends who are listening who've had those losses. And I'm really appreciating your transparency because in the world of Instagram, for example, where everybody's kids are always wearing matching outfits and look perfect, and then people post all these blogs and recipes and great fun activities to do with your kid.
Yes.
The schedule you should be on.
Right.
You know, and everyone has little angels and everyone is perfect and everything is great and wonderful. And I think it almost shames some parents into thinking, oh, I'm not doing enough or I'm not good enough at this or I'm failing as a parent. When if we tell the truth, that's how we get some help. You know, if someone goes to the ER and they say, how you doing? And they say, oh, fine. You know, so you'll never get any help that way. And so I appreciate
right.
your transparency. So there's a lot to being a parent right now. The pandemic, the economy, the culture, just all kinds of things. So for parents who are listening to us, and you have the benefit of lots of experience in surviving, how are we doing right now? How are our parents doing right now?
I'll say I can speak about the parents I work with.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can speak from the perspective of how I'm doing as a parent.
Both are good.
And I feel like if I speak from where I'm at as a parent, then maybe it will resonate with someone a little bit easier than if I talk about the parents I work with.
Mm-hmm.
How I'm doing right now is, just a few days ago, I told my 16-year-old that I would be back, and I felt so lost and overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to get out. I needed to take a drive, and I did not know where I was going. I knew I couldn't stay gone for long, but I knew that I needed a mental break.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was, and I'm still in it. I'll say I'm still in navigating where I'm at, but I had a Starbucks gift card, and there's a Starbucks 10 minutes away that's open until midnight. I went to the drive-thru and I sat in the parking lot and I drank my Starbucks and I just felt numb. I allowed myself to feel numb. And I allowed myself to say, you know, this is okay, this is where you're at. This is, you know, you're navigating a lot. You have this new heightened level of anxiety. You don't know where it's coming from. Work stress, like I'm experiencing worse work stress and anxiety, not because of the job that I do, but because of my management. And it's a real struggle for me. Navigating this and feeling like I can't talk about it,
mm-hmm.
is real for me, because I know from my past experience that if I say I'm exhausted or I'm tired or I'm not feeling like myself, I know the instant thing is going to say, oh, Krista, you're depressed. And I know that's not a reality for me. I know that where I'm at is there's anxiety. Anxiety can mimic some of the same symptoms of depression, of low energy, feeling numb, feeling overwhelmed, not able to sleep or sleeping too much, because our brains are constantly going in anxiety when we're navigating, making sure our children are okay, making
mm-hmm.
sure our children are safe, you know, for back into the things where children are going back to school, and that's a heavy load to carry as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have multiple children in different schools,
mm.
there's that risk, and you're doing the very best that you can to make sure that you're doing everything right. And the world holds this image and this judgment of what is right and what is wrong. Do you vaccinate? Do you not vaccinate? Do you send them to school? Do you not send them to school? Do you homeschool? Do you feed them chicken nuggets from McDonald's? Or do you get the organic store-bought ones? And ultimately, what I do my very best to tell parents that I sit with is you do what you feel is best for you and your children.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that you can do. And if you need to take a moment and you need to step outside, step outside. I have sat in my car and I have screamed and I have cried. And that's a real thing. And it is not easy to navigate at the same time because I want, you know, my children to feel okay. But I also want them to know that it's okay to not feel okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, everything you're saying is resonating with me, and I'm sure many of our friends. You're a very brave and courageous person because you're willing to tell the truth. And my granddaddy used to say that sometimes you do all you can do, and then you ask the Creator to meet you there and make up for it. Just make it do. You know, got macaroni and cheese tonight? Just make it do. You know, just make this work. Make this, I'm doing, here's what I'm doing. Put your super on my natural and make it work. Even if I miss it, even if I'm wrong, even if I fail, even if I don't have it all together, I'm just going to ask the Creator just little as much if God is in it. And so you step in this, please. And you make it 1,000 times more than it is. You give us increase, me and my children. And you make this work for us. Even if I'm messing up, even if there's crazy people and school shooters and pandemics and weirdos and whatever else out there, you help us and take care of us.
And that's real. I've mentioned before when we've spoken that, you know, I have my oldest was he went to the Sky World.
I'm so sorry.
By way of homicide. And I fear that for my daughter, the older she gets, I'm like, you know, this is a real risk because we don't know. I come from a world of, you know, this is what happens in our community. Mm-hmm. You know, our young people are shot and we have school shootings and we have these things, sort of real life situations. And I do my very best to navigate that reality and not put too much on my daughter. And I remember, it was probably October or November, just shortly before my son's homicide in 2018, that I would look at my daughter every day after her uncle was murdered. Mm. And I got this question, what would you do if you knew you were going to lose her?
Mm.
And the answer was, you're going to love her wherever she is, and no matter what, you're going to raise her to know that she is loved and she is cared for, no matter how long she is on this earth, whether it be another 5 days or 5 years or 20 years, which, you know, I can only hope and dream that she has a long and full life of experiences that her brother never got to have. And that she's a better woman and mother and even more resilient cycle breaker than I have been in my life. But that helped me to understand I don't want to raise her with fear. I want her to be happy. And shortly after my son's homicide, I was afraid to let her go anywhere. You know, that's a real thing that It's a real trauma that has happened to our family, and she, like a normal, average, typical teenager, said, "Mom, I'm not him." And I had to respond out of a place of love and understanding. I said, "I know. I don't want you to be afraid, but I am afraid for you. And I want you to understand that as a parent, that's my position. That's where I'm coming from. I don't want you to live in fear." And I think that sometimes as we parent our children and we come from trauma backgrounds and our mental health, that has that heaviness from those traumas, we can get those signals mixed when raising our children, and we can raise them out of fear. And so that fear is instilled in them, and it's continuing this cycle of fear and trauma and pain, which can send these mixed signals to their development and growth. And then our worst fear come to reality. And I say that because that's how I parented my son. I did not have the healing of my own childhood trauma, and I parented them out of fear. Fear and anxiety drove my parenting skills because I was in survival mode, and all I knew was I love this child and I don't want to lose him.
I am so thankful for you, and I'm thankful for your willingness to share with us your heart and how you are moving in this world today, because it's medicine for us. You know, being positive in life, having a positive attitude, isn't ignoring reality. That's toxic positivity.
Absolutely.
And we need people like you. We need you. We need you who are willing to show your heart to us so that we can grow. And even right now, you know, you're helping me so much. I don't talk about this a lot, but I have a brother incredibly close to him, and he passed away in 2014. My sister passed away a year later. And then after a tremendous struggle with, you know, having children and all that, I got pregnant with a multiple birth, and a doctor made a mistake, and we lost them in 2017. And so when God gave us a legitimate miracle, I mean, just a super wonderful miracle, and I conceived our wonderful son, and he is the light of our lives, the light of my life. And he's a toddler now, and he wants to climb and run and jump and do all kinds of things. And he's good at it. That's the other part. He's really fast. You know, so it's like, ah! So last night I was literally with my roll of masking tape and bubble wrap, bubble wrapping our furniture, our house, our staircase. I was really like bubble wrapping everything. And one of our aunties said this to me, and it blessed me so much. And she said, "You know, your love and your prayers will protect him more than that ever will." And so I listened to her, and I thought about what she said. And she turned to me and she said, "If the bubble wrap makes you feel better, you go right ahead and bubble wrap all your furniture and the front door." I mean, I did get a little out of hand, I think. But and she said, "If that makes you feel better, you do it. But you remember that the Creator loves your child even more than you do and will always protect and guide and heal and help no matter where they are." And so I love your beautiful heart to help us, because there's a pandemic out there. That's the other part of it. We're not dismissing. It's scary out there. Stuff happens to people. It is. We're not oh no, it's great out there. You know, we're not
right.
T-shirts that say stuff like "No fear here." You know, no. I mean, we're very aware of the realities of what parents are facing right now, and that's why we want everyone who's listening to us to know that we care about you. That we're sending that healing medicine by sharing our own stories. So, as you decided not to parent from fear and to embrace all of life, whatever that means, did it help? Do you feel better?
I feel a little bit better. I'll be completely honest. It took a lot for me to get to a place where I wasn't parenting out of fear, and I had to address my trauma. I had to address the childhood trauma. I had to address the domestic violence trauma. Mm. I had to address other traumas that just continued. And I'm still working through those things. It's a constant thing. Like, I don't feel like we are completely, ever really completely healed from those things. Those things are going to carry weight for us. They're going to create triggers that we're not aware of. Certain seasons and time of year can be triggering for us, and we could be filled with so much anxiety and trauma response, but we're not aware of it, you know, and we're like, what is wrong with me? Why am I in a funky mood? Why am I responding to people like this? You know, and it's because those things are there. And so being kind with myself, being aware, and being honest about traumas, and identifying that these things weren't my fault. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my fault I went to foster care. It wasn't my fault my parents didn't heal from their trauma. And that's another huge thing that I worked through, is that my parents had their trauma, and those things weren't their fault, but it was their responsibility to work through those things and navigate. And my parents aren't in my life. And I have learned through my healing accepting that they're individuals and they're going to go through what's going to be best for them. You know, and as hard as it is, there's like this balance of, this is where I'm at, and I know I'm struggling and I'm having a hard time, but I'm addressing these things, navigating, and my parents are doing the same thing in their way. It's not going to be how I think it should be. I do, to answer your question, I do feel better. But I know that when I'm having a really hard time, that it's just trauma response and it's anxiety, and I'm aware of that, versus before I addressed these things, I was constantly overwhelmed and in survival mode. Mm-hmm. You know, I will never forget my son. When I started doing my trauma work, he was doing his work in a co-occurring treatment facility for mental health and substance abuse, and he came home and he was triggered or wanting to run away, and he was in his room packing his stuff and said, well, I'm gonna run away. And I looked at him and I said, okay, if this is what you're gonna do, could you please make sure you use the front door? Please don't climb out the window. I need to know what time you leave, so that I can be the parent and do what I need to do as a parent and call the police and report it.
Mm.
And he's stopped. And he looked at me and he said, Mom, you've changed. And I said, I have, because while you were doing your work, I was doing mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to understand that as a teenager, he was going to do what he was going to do. He was just that type of child that was struggling, and unfortunately, he didn't get the mental health treatment that he needed. He was misdiagnosed. And so he had a lot of struggles. And I knew that I couldn't force him to do anything. I had to navigate it the best way that I could. And in that, I let go of that sense of needing to control him. That's how I grew up. Control your child. You know, they have to do as you say, not as you do. And that's wrong. I found out that is totally wrong, and I was doing things so wrong for so long. But through my healing and addressing things, I realized that, you know, I feel like we live in a society that says, well, you got to get up and you got to take care of this and you've got to do this. And I'm completely honest with people I sit with, and I let them know, you've got to let this hurt, because that's the only way we're going to get through it, is by allowing things to hurt and feel these things. And then we get to decide where we're going to go from here. We can't push these things to the side and say, okay, well, you don't exist today. You know, and sometimes that's okay. Like, if you know that something's there, like, okay, I'm having a really hard time, you know, but I'm going to set you to the side. I'll worry about you when I lay down to go to bed. And that's when the anxiety just overwhelms me, you know. But right now, while I'm cooking dinner, I can't focus on you, you know. So there's a balance in that, in navigating that, holding it and choosing when the right time to hold it is, and how we hold that. I think it's really important.
I appreciate that. I truly do. And one time I was telling my granddaddy about something really difficult, and he was a World War II veteran, D-Day, the whole nine yards, war hero. And he sat there, and he listened to me tell him, and then he said, you know what the difference is between a victory and a defeat? No, I didn't know, really. He said, strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us are struggling right now because we don't have a strategy. We did not have pandemics and coups and crazy elections, and just, we didn't have that on our bingo card. You know, we thought it was going to be just feeding them and clothing them and keeping them alive and making sure they went to school and turned out to be good people. We had no idea that there would be active shooter drills and just all kinds of things coming at us as parents. And so how do we develop a strategy? How do we develop ways, a system of surviving all this and thriving in it? And so I asked him that. I said, okay, strategy's good. Got to have a strategy. But what's the most important part of making sure your strategy works? He said, allies. Allies matter. Can't win a war without allies. All you've got in this life is Creator, your family, and your friends. And he knew what he was talking about. You know, I mean, World War II was won because of allies. And he knew that. And so community and allies, I think, is super important as we talk about these things and bring them into the light. And that's why I love your job and the work that you do, because I see you as an ally for the parents and the children and the community. And so when we come back from commercial, see what I did there?
Yeah.
I want us to talk about real strategies, How can we make friends and build community and find some way of developing some strategies and be better parents, better people? And, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. So stay right there, everybody, and we'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years... Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Do you overcook your pasta? Do you mix your lights with your darks and tell long, complicated jokes that have no punchline? Do you have trouble wrapping gifts, sound like a hyena when singing happy birthday, and have no idea how the metric system works? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you can't tie a Windsor knot, forget to defrost the chicken, can't tell a latte from a cappuccino, confuse North and South Dakota, overuse commas, throw a frisbee like it's a flounder, and still believe kids really do love lima beans, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Oil and gasoline prices are going through the roof.
Tell me about it. I can't afford to drive to the grocery store.
We've reached the tipping point, so I'm going to give you some tips that could save you hundreds of dollars a year on gas.
Tipping point? I've reached my clipping point. I feel like Ellen Scissorhands clipping all those coupons.
Tip number one, keep your tires properly inflated. You could save enough money to buy a gallon of orange juice every month.
Can do.
Tip number two, driving 60 instead of 70 on highways and not racing around town can buy you bacon and eggs every day.
Wow!
Tip number three, cut the idling, lower the AC, and ditch the junk in the trunk. That could buy you bread and butter, and maybe some grits.
You mean by driving smarter, I can eat breakfast free for a year? Wow!
For more wow tips for your pocketbook and the planet, go to the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Can I substitute a prune Danish for the grits?
If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing.
Do you overcook your pasta? Do you mix your lights with your darks and tell long, complicated jokes that have no punchline? Do you have trouble wrapping gifts, sound like a hyena when singing happy birthday, and have no idea how the metric system works? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you can't tie a Windsor knot, forget to defrost the chicken, can't tell a latte from a cappuccino, confuse North and South Dakota, overuse commas, throw a frisbee like it's a flounder, and still believe kids really do love lima beans, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council. Do you...
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
One of the great gifts Creator gives me in my life is the ability to host this show and hear from such dynamic people who are doing such empowering things to bless others and to strengthen our communities. Our guest today is one of those people. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
My name is Calista Cole. I am Inuit, Yupik, and adopted Crow. I work with Perinatal Support Washington as a perinatal mental health peer supporter in the state of Washington.
I'm so thankful that you're here and that you're who you are and you're willing to help people right where you are, but also by being with us, help our friends all over the world. And because we have friends who listen all over the world, they may not know very much about your particular tribal heritage or, you know, the nations from which you come. Is there something you would like to share with us about your own heritage that we might not already know?
Well, I'll say that I don't know very much. I know that I grew up without cultural connection, and through community, I've embraced more about my identity and my culture. I have a mom who is not my biological mom, and I met her a few years ago. Or probably maybe 8 or 9 years ago. And she was my driver at the time through tribal mental health services. And we had a conversation on the drive, and she said, "Oh, I'll be your mom," because I was talking about my toxic relationship mm-hmm. with my mom. And ever since, she's been my mom. And on my birthday, actually, on my 40th birthday, September 23rd, she showed up, and I had a Pendleton blanket for her and some gifts, because she said that she would officially adopt me and give me my name. And I'm still getting used to it. but I gave her, she smudged me, and I gave her her gift, and my children had gifts for her and her partner. And she gave me my name. She named me Red Berry Woman.
Hmm.
And she said, she told me about the dream she had about my name, and she said, "You turn poison into medicine."
Mm-hmm.
So as far as my heritage, I'm still learning so much, and now I have more to learn. But I am proudly, I'm proud of my culture. And my community.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because I think there are people from lots of different cultures who are reconnecting, mm-hmm. finding their roots, and they need to hear that from you. They need to hear that story from you, because it helps them to find their place in the world. And an important part of that story that you just were so kind to tell us is that family is sometimes the people who choose you, and you choose them. And
absolutely.
So can you help us to think a little bit about the families we make for ourselves?
Absolutely. I have. I am a person who is not, like, I am not an extrovert. I'm an introvert. I get so lost in myself and navigating, feel so, you know, alone. But I do have people who are in my life, who I have my biological siblings, that I do have a relationship with, my two sisters. But I also have many sisters and members of my community that I've adopted as mine. And it's just through through sharing our stories where we make connections, you know, and it has become a thing that it's not intentional, but it's sharing our stories and navigating the things and talking about what we've gone through, and then all of a sudden, next thing I know, my new sister is coming to my home, and we're roasting marshmallows mm-hmm. and talking about our lives. And I wouldn't have had those situations if I did not have community first and opportunities to be in community. I have a sister I met at a parent group, and we worked with parent group for, I think, 2 years together. And then all of a sudden we were developing a friendship, and then we became sisters. And so those relationships just kind of unfold themselves. Mm-hmm. If we find that position of letting others in and sharing our stories. I think it's really important to share our stories.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, I was speaking at a conference one time, and someone asked during the questions and answers what I thought was the largest difference between communication among Indigenous people and mainstream people. And I said, I believe that the big difference is that when you ask someone in the mainstream, how are you? They say, fine, thank you, or cool, mm-hmm. or whatever. But when you ask us, we tell you a story. We tell our stories. Mm-hmm. That's how we connect to one another. And when we share those stories, then someone else who has a story finds a way to connect with us. And then after a time of sharing those stories, what you start finding about those people is you start having stories together. Remember that time we all went to the Black Hills powwow? Yeah. So it's no longer like I shared my story, you shared your story, we shared enough stories, and then suddenly we started appearing in each other's stories and making a family, making friends. And I heard a disturbing statistic, and as soon as I heard it, I thought, oh, I've got to ask you about this, because they're saying as many as 40% of adults believe that they don't have one close friend, one genuine friend. Now, of course, anytime we hear those kind of statistics, we have to say, okay, is it true? You know, is it accurate? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if that's true, what a lonely way to live life. So in this strange world, or in this world that we're in, whatever it is, do you have any advice for parents? Because we're really busy parenting. And we put our kids first and parents and all that. But how do we make more mom friends? How do we make friends when we're moms and parents?
I think that sometimes, for me, it's getting out of that comfort zone. Mm-hmm. We can be very comfortable in not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For example, just last week, so our one of our cultural centers in here was putting on a movie night, and it's about a 30-minute drive from me, mm-hmm. and the time was 6 to 10, and I'm like, oh geez, that's late, and it's cold. And so I told the children, I said, well, we can just watch a movie here at home, we'll get some snacks.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized that this place, Daybreak Star, is a very sacred place for me. And that's where we have our seafarer powwow, usually. And I don't have a whole lot of people I hang out with, but it's also where I had my son's ceremony. And so that space is sacred. And we always feel like we're at home. My children went to the preschool for 2 years there. And so I decided we're going to go. Okay, let's go. You know, I got some chairs, grab your blankets, grab your hoodies. And I went there, and I didn't know anybody there directly. I had called a friend, and at this time I had made a Facebook post that I said, I'm not talking to anybody just because it's where I was at mentally and emotionally. It's like, I cannot respond to messages. And she said, I thought you weren't talking to anybody. I said, I'm not, but you can come watch this movie with us.
Yeah, exactly.
And so she came. The movie was Brother Bear. And it's one of the reasons why I went out there, because that was my oldest son's favorite movie.
Aww.
And I told my friend, I said, I'm going to cry. This movie always makes me cry, because especially now you know, because it's about a big brother and a little brother, and, you know, I have one living son, you know, he doesn't have a big brother. Anyway, back on track. So I'm there, and there are parents, both mothers and fathers, and being in that space, even though I wasn't communicating directly with anybody, just being in that state felt so safe and comfortable, because we were all parents watching the movie with our children. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know the fathers, but their presence in community, and I'm going to say this because I'm a mom and I work with moms mostly, but our fathers are so important.
Oh, yes.
Our healthy fathers who gather with us. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Your presence is so comforting for the single mom who is taking care of her children and experiencing domestic violence and is afraid every day. I'm going to say that because I am that mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what I'm going to wake up to, if I'm going to wake up to my car window busted out. I have experienced that. But the presence of our fathers, of our healthy fathers, to see them smile and laugh and communicate and play with their children and hold their children in community, even if we're not directly having a conversation, your presence matters, and it is so important, and it is so sacred, and it is such good medicine for our children to see our healthy fathers being fathers. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful leading example. And so my biggest thing is that if there's a community gathering, a small community gathering, go be held in that space wherever you're at and whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing. Be in that space. I go places, I will cry. I do not care. And I know that there's so many people that are not comfortable with that. But there's so much good medicine in getting out and doing these small steps. And I don't know what everybody's community holds. I know that because COVID, a lot of things are outside, and it's cold. We were freezing, but it was a good experience nonetheless, because there was good energy and good medicine in that.
Thank you for that. I want us all to also release perfection. Just release the idea that you're going to be perfect. You know, I lived my whole life as a public figure. I literally grew up modeling and on camera and in the public eye. I promise you, even if it looks perfect, it's not. it's not. I mean, and so let's let that go. Let's just let that go and really live life, right? I mean, don't miss out on a person that wants to be your friend or is kind, or don't miss out on being kind to someone else because everything's not perfect. And, you know, the kids don't have matching pajamas and, you know, whatever else
Absolutely. We're
supposed to be doing, right? Our hair isn't fixed or whatever it is, just go. Because so many of my greatest blessings have been just because I went. I wasn't perfect when I got there. I wasn't perfect when I left. But just because I went, or just because I answered the phone, or just because I messaged someone back, or just because I did something, I got a tremendous blessing, or I gave one. And so I know everywhere you go, you're a blessing to many people, you're a blessing to me, and, you know, even your willingness to join us today, it is because someone needs the medicine that you hold. And so just the last 2 minutes that we have to close, I'm going to give them to you and ask you to speak directly to our parents, our friends who are listening, please.
You've only 2 minutes. This went fast. you know, I let go of the moment. Be in that moment You know, I know that we hold so many things as parents. I know that we face so many judgments. And I know that there are so many people that have their judgments. But like my daughter said, hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. And something that I just heard, healed people heal people. Mm. And so while we walk in this world of so many challenges and struggles, we have many people that are hurting. But we also have many people that are healing. Mm-hmm. And while those people are healing, we can be healing for others. And I don't want to say that I am perfect, but this session right here is as much good medicine for me as it might be for someone else. And that is what healing is about, is that I'm not completely healed, and I don't think that I ever will be. But I also want us to know that we can heal in spaces where we are allowing ourselves to be in the moment. Being in the moment, letting go of those judgments just for 5 minutes. Practice letting go of those judgments for 5 minutes. Practice talking to yourself for 5 minutes and say, what do I need? What does the little girl inside of me need, or the father or the little boy inside of me need, whoever you are, wherever you're at? Look to that inner self and ask yourself, what do you need? And give it to yourself. Do you need a bowl of ice cream? Go get that bowl of ice cream, whatever flavor. Mm-hmm. You want to watch a movie. It's okay. Those dishes are going to be there. As long as our children are fed and they're happy and they're smiling, that is what is the most important thing. We can allow ourselves 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Practice it once a week if you have to. Mm-hmm. If it's too much to do every day, 5 to 10 minutes once a week. That's my instruction. That is my suggestion. 5 to 10 minutes to do once a week to ask yourself, what is it that you really need right now? And go for it.
Mm. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Thank you for your honesty, your candor, your transparency, your authenticity. But most of all, thank you for your generosity in being willing to share your medicine with others. Thank you for joining us today.
And thank you for allowing me to be here and share this medicine. It's good medicine for me as well.
Thank you for your friendship to me as well.
And thank you for yours as well. This was amazing. Such good medicine.
All of you, under the sound of our voices, we want you to know that the Creator loves you, and that we do too, and that you are so loved. You are so loved. Right now, exactly as you are, you will do better later, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The Creator loves you, loves you, loves you. Thank you so much for listening to our show today. Thank you to our sponsors, Adam H. We appreciate you so very much. And I can't wait until we're all together next time.
Save her, better believe they get on their knees. They pray hard, and never look back once the war forgave you.
She is silent, she's getting old. She's silent. Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on their knees and pray her. They pray her and never look back.